Here we are in the final hours of the Christmas season, which ends tomorrow with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, actually on Monday. But as we close out the season, we are given one final scene in the series of wonderful images of the Nativity story with which we are so familiar. And that is, of course, the arrival of the Magi from the East. It's a beautiful image, majestic even, that is depicted on so many Christmas cards each year. But the beauty makes it easy to overlook something from this episode in the manifestation of the Messiah that is startling and very important for all of us. When the wise men arrived and paid their respect to King Herod, as would be the protocol, Herod became agitated, to say the least, by the news that they brought of a newborn king of the Jews. Well, that is certainly understandable from Herod's point of view. But why would all of Jerusalem likewise be troubled by the news? We think of the birth of Jesus 2,000 years later as the best of all possible news. Not so much the people of Jerusalem this day. But why? Well, it is very likely that the people of Jerusalem understood full well that the announced competition for supreme leadership of the Jews would not bode well for them, knowing Herod's cruel temperament. It meant the status quo would be disrupted big time, and thus life could get ugly under Herod. This also meant stress for everyone, the stress that accompanies change. The birth of Jesus Christ was startling to the people of Jerusalem. Would that we should be so startled by the news. If we look back over the episodes in the infancy narratives from the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, there is evidence of similar reactions from most, if not all, of the key biblical figures. Mary was greatly troubled by the announcement from the angel Gabriel. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was incredulous when he was told by the angel that his wife of advanced years was to bear a son, the forerunner of the Messiah. The shepherds were struck with great fear when the angel announced the birth of the Savior. So, there are precedents that we notice here. People are often shaken when confronted with the reality of the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the change that it spawns. But we also note that each of these key figures in the Christmas story were ultimately shaken into positive action and fulfilled their role in the mission of Jesus Christ according to the Father's will. Once the startling reality of Christ, the Son of God among us, is experienced, it is God's intent that we seek to know and understand what it means for our lives, for our role in salvation history. As the Church is observing the official period of mourning and prayers for the repose of the soul of Pope Benedict, it seems appropriate on this solemn feast day to consider the following from his own words. The Pope once wrote, "Being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with a person which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction." So how does Emmanuel move us? In what direction? What are we called to do to lead ourselves and others to God? If it takes some time to come to grips with the change that is asked of us, we should not fear. Mary herself needed time to ponder the happenings around her and their meaning. And of course she would. The hopes and dreams she had for her life together with Joseph would require enormous modification and accommodation. Encounters with Jesus Christ often do. Getting back to the Magi, whoever these men were, whatever they were meant to represent, we know from this account within the Epiphany of our Lord that they were moved by their encounter with Christ to go back to their lives by a different way. And while we may respect that they journeyed a long way with their valuable gifts to the newborn King of the Jews, it may be what they took away with them on their return trip that is the most important part of their journey. What is it that we take away from Christ that transforms our lives and changes the course of our journey going forward? There are three things, to be sure. One, His divine word, which is the plan for living in accordance with God's will. Two, His body, blood, soul, and divinity, which sustains us in acts of love and forgiveness, even during times of injustice and personal challenge. And three, the promise of eternal life, granted by the sacrifice of His life in atonement for our sins and failures. These are the gifts from Emmanuel that we take on our journeys. How can we not feel the jolting impact of such gifts? But once again, if you are startled by a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, know that you are in good company indeed. Many before us were shaken into changing the course of their lives as a result. They found new roads. Going back to old ways was not an option.